Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Well, tonight, if you want to get your Bibles out and go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to launch out from there tonight as we go. And I have a simple little message. God gave this to me a long time ago, and I believe that is really pertinent to where we're at tonight. You know, it's the start of a new year, and with the new year, oftentimes comes new goals, new vision, new dreams, those sorts of things. But as well, we've just gotten through the hump of the holidays. You know what I mean by that? Where it's almost like, you know, you're kind of just pressing through at the end of last year, right? At the end of the year, you're getting all the gifts. You're making sure you got all the arrangements. You've got the, you've got the dinners and the family gatherings, all that kind of stuff. And then in January, it's almost like you have that big letdown, you know, and you just kind of, you take a deep breath. And then you get back into life. And there's almost that little pause that takes place during this time. And little by little, something creeps in called stress. And tonight I want to minister a little subject called how to deal with stress. Now, I would venture to say that each and every one of us in this place deals with stress, if not on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis, especially in adults. Now, if we don't handle stress, stress will handle us. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever been handled by stress, right? You started to feel the toll. Maybe you started getting headaches. You know, some people have had other health issues that have sprung forth from stress. And medically, they study stress. In fact, they've stressed out animals to see if they can produce the same results. And guess what? They had lab rats with ulcers. And they had monkeys that were all stressed out. Okay? And so if we don't handle stress, if that's what it does to animals, how much more for us? You know what I mean? Because we carry things, we carry weights, we carry pressures all the time. There are cares and things that we deal with on a daily basis. So we can either stress out or we can, you got to look at this, we can out-stress. You see what I'm saying? Now, I thought it was interesting. I was trying to define what stress really was. And in 1951, a British medical journal said, stress, in addition to being itself, was also the cause of itself and the result of itself. Isn't that interesting? The man who coined the term stress, his name was Hans Selye, I think that's how you say it. He said, everyone knows what stress is, but nobody really knows. And I think all of us could identify with that. Everybody knows what stress is. When I say stress, you almost felt the weight come on you. You know what I'm saying? And when I said how to manage stress, some of you guys said, oh, hallelujah, because I've got some of that I need to deal with. And each and every one of us, we could say that we have stress factors in our lives. There are things that when we start to think about them, when we start to talk about them, when we start to encounter them, the stress, the pressure comes on our lives. Now, according to research from the American Psychological Association, the APA, the top four causes of stress, are you ready for this? And see if one of these four stresses you out. First one is this. Can you guess it? Money. That's what it is. Number one stress factor in our lives is money. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to provide. I want to make sure to have a good life. And money stresses us out. Number two, right behind that, related to that, is work, your job. That's the number two stress factor. Number three is family. And number four is health. Those are the four stress factors that we have to deal with. Now, there are many other stresses that can come into our lives, especially in different seasons of life. The youth deal with peer pressure and stresses that go on there. Adults deal with different things. In fact, if you take a look at the studies that they've done on stress, would you think that men are more stressed or women? You're right, women. Women are more stressed out than men, okay? And then how about this one? We all could say this. Parents are more stressed out than people with no children. Okay, so mama, you got a big, big job ahead of you, and we're praying for you, but tonight we're going to give you some practical tools and some things about how to deal with those stresses in your life. Now, some of the signs of stress could be any number of things. Maybe you can see some of these things in your life and say, yeah, you know what, I'm dealing with that. But the signs are these: irritability. When you're stressed, you can be more irritable. Maybe you blow up on somebody because the stress, it wasn't the fact that somebody came and did something, you know, it was just a little pinprick that popped the balloon, right? And you can get really irritable. How about this? Lack of motivation. Sometimes when things stress us out, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I just got to stop. I just need to just, you know, I don't even want to go there any longer. Fatigue. Stress can make you feel tired. Stress can make you feel like you just have no motivation, or like you're wore out, you're exhausted, or you're overwhelmed. Now partner that, okay, you're tired, with this, sleeplessness. You're tired, but you can't sleep because you're up all night worrying about it. And it just adds to the stresses in your lives. How about this one? Nervousness, anxiety. Sometimes people can suffer from panic attacks because they start to get stressed out in their lives and they start to get nervous and then they start to freak out. Why? Because stress is on their lives. Stress can cause mental and health issues. Sometimes we take things on and it just gets on our mind, but also it can cause health issues. Most people handle stress. Now, this was very interesting to me. You know how most people, they polled people all over the United States and they asked them, how do you handle stress? When stress comes in your life, what do you do? The number one way that people handle stress is they watch television for over 2 hours in a row. I'm the type of guy that I start to think about things like that. Sometimes people are stressed out that they don't have enough time. And so because they're stressed out that they don't have enough time to do what they need to do, they will spend time watching hours of television being unproductive. If you need one extra hour of every day, just cut out an extra hour of television. You've got your hour right there, right? If you need 2 extra hours, maybe you could wake up 1 hour earlier and cut out 1 hour of television. Right there, you've added 10 full hours to your week. You've added a whole day to your work week. Pretty amazing. Most people watch television. Some people do this. They surf the internet or play video games. Very likely that, and also men, we're playing video games, that sort of a thing. Some people go to sleep. They don't want to deal with stress, so they just, I'm going to go take a nap. I'm just done. I'm going to lay down. Overeating. No one in here, but some people out there, when they get stressed out, they just, things are going in the mouth. I just got to have something. I just got to eat. And with that comes drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes. People get stressed out. They just have to do something. They get that nervousness, and so it relaxes them. It relaxes me when I eat. It relaxes me when I drink. It relaxes me when I smoke a cigarette. See, we're dealing with stress all the wrong ways. Dealing with things the way that the world deals with things, rather than dealing with things the way God would have us to deal with things. And tonight I want to share with you, like I said, some practical things. Now, when I say practical things, I'm not talking about diet, exercise, sleep habits, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about practical things from the Word of God, because if I can't find it in here, I can't believe God for it. I said, if I can't find it in here, then I can't believe God for it. But when I find the answers in the Word of God, now I can go to the throne room because I've got a promise, and I can say, Father, listen, I'm having a hard time in life. I'm dealing with stress, but I see this in your Word, and therefore, God, I'm going to believe you for it. Anybody with me tonight? So tonight, how to handle stress so that stress doesn't handle you. A couple of quick things. How to deal with stress. First one is this. And I had you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 for this reason, is cast your cares on God. Just simply cast your cares on God. You don't have to carry the weight and the pressures of life on your own. You can cast your cares on God. Sometimes we get caught up, we're looking at the problem seems so big to us, and so we get stressed out about it. But if you would just cast that cares on God and look to God who's bigger than your problems, you would realize your problem's not that big. Now, I've heard this quote attributed to Ian McLaren as well as to Corrie Ten Boom, but it's a great quote no matter who said it. But they said that worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it does empty today of its strength. See, when we get stressed out and when we worry about things and we allow things to weigh us down, it doesn't deal with the issue. But what it does do is it incapacitates us. It hinders us, it holds us down, and it robs us of our joy, of our strength, of our productivity. And yet, if we can just cast that care on the Lord, then we don't have to carry it any longer. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse number 5, I'm going to start in the middle of the verse, so little letter B, if you will. There's a quote. Some of your Bibles have it all by itself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, look at what it says. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Very important that we understand some things. First of all, what is grace? If God's given grace to the humble, okay, and we know that God is good, and that God's given us something that we need, then what does grace mean? Well, grace is simply God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. That's grace. Grace is God's empowerment. It's his ability on my behalf. I couldn't do it. I can't handle life. I can't handle the weight of the finances. I'm not smart enough. You know, I'm not really a great enough leader to lead other people on the job or at home. You know, we have all these pressures and all these things. I hope that I'm raising my kids right. I hope that, you know what, I can just contribute somewhere. I want to live a life that's bigger than myself. And because of these things, we get stress on our lives. Now, stress is not all bad, okay? Let me make sure that we define this. Stress is not all bad. Stress can be a motivating factor. In fact, if we didn't have pressures on us, some of us wouldn't do anything. Right? Why change if there's no pressure to change? Why do something if there's no motivating factor? And sometimes pain or pressure can motivate us, but there's a bell curve. You know what a bell curve is? It goes up like this, and then it goes down on the other side like a bell, right? Okay, now that bell curve, if you were to go up the stress level of the one side, that stress level, as stress increases, it's actually good. You start being productive. You start doing good. But then there's a hump that you come over that's your fatigue level, the amount of pressure that you can handle. And when you cross over that, your productivity stops and you start to plummet down into problems, pressures. Now you start to plummet down into those mental and physical issues that come along. You start to plummet down into lack of productivity and drive and motivation, all those things that we talked about. So in order for us to understand this, okay, so God resists the proud, right? So stress can motivate us. And we can say, I got this. There's pressure on me. I can do this. But then sometimes we get to that top of that bell curve and all of a sudden we're out of our league. Now, me being a man, I can speak for the men. Sometimes us men can be pretty hard-headed. I got this. God, you just hang tight, Lord. Right? And we can even make it spiritual. God made me a man. Men are strong. Men are focused. Women are the ones that are stressed out. I heard that from Pastor Dan. That was a statistic. Somebody researched that. It's smarter than we are. And they said it was true. Pastor Dan probably found it on the internet. It must be true, right? I can handle this. And so we, in our pride, say, I got this, and end up going nowhere. Why? Because God resists the proud. God says, you're going to be proud. You're going to sit there and see if you can do it yourself. Let's see. And nothing gets done. But he gives grace, he gives ability, God's ability, not man's ability. Listen, I don't want man's ability, I want the God ability, right? I don't want the natural, I want the supernatural ability of God on my life. So if God resists the proud, then first things first, I need to admit, I can't do this, I'm out of my league, God, I'm in over my head, Lord. Help, Jesus, take the wheel. I need you to just come and take over right now. And see, at that point, then it says God gives grace to the humble. Look at the next verse, verse 6. Therefore, because of what I just said about God, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, God, you've got this. Your timing is right on point, God. You've got this. I trust you, Lord. Now look at this. The verse is not done yet. Verse number 7 comes along. There's not a period, there's a comma. And look at what it says, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Maybe tonight this is a word for somebody in this place. You came in here and you thought that nobody in the world cared about you. I'm here to tell you tonight that God cares deeply about your life. He loves you. And someone may be saying, you know, I just am so stressed. I'm under so much pressure. I just want to end it all. Listen, you do not have to end it all. This is a new beginning for you tonight because God cares about you, and you don't have to carry that stress. You don't have to carry that weight. You don't have to carry that pressure any longer. You don't have to throw in the towel. God's in your corner. He's on your side. God loves you, and he cares about you. And if you will cast your care on him, he'll take it. He'll take that weight. He'll take that pressure. He'll take that stress off of your lives. See, you can give the problems to the Lord. See, sometimes just praying about the situation is all you need to do. You know that? You ever had that experience where you went into your prayer closet and you said, God, I'm stressed. God, I've got pressure. I've got weight on my life. And you casted your care on him. Afterwards, you feel better, right? Now, listen. Most likely, the situation didn't change. But what changed? We changed, right? The pressure on us changed. Now you can handle it. Why? Because it's out of your hands and it's in God's hands. See, sometimes all you need to do is just cast your care on the Lord, and the stress is gone like that. And you say, Pastor, what do I do if the stress is still there? Second thing for tonight. Here we go. You ready? Stay in the peace of God. Not only cast your care on the Lord because he cares for you, but secondly, you have to stay in the peace of God. Why? Because we can get out of our prayer closet, and when the problem, that stress factor in our life, or how about this, when the person, you know who I'm talking about, right? That we'll call them that stress factor. Maybe the stress factor is your husband. Maybe the stress factor is your wife. Men, do not say amen right now. I'm helping you. Maybe the stress factor in your life is your boss. Maybe the stress factor in your life is your children. Maybe the stress factor in your life is your bank statement. Whatever it is, when you go back out of your prayer closet and it's staring you in the face, you have to stay. Everybody say stay. You have to stay in the peace of God. See, because by faith you receive that peace. When you cast your care, the weight's off of you. But if you walk out of the room and you pick it right back up, you've got issues. You've got problems, and now stress is going to be handling you instead of you handling stress. Isaiah chapter 26, turn there with me. Isaiah chapter number 26, great verse. Great verse to remember, great verse to come back to. Isaiah chapter 26. Take a look at this in verse number 3. Isaiah 26, 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Does anybody in this place want perfect peace? I know I do. I'm right there with you. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now that word him, maybe some of your Bibles have the word him in little italics. You know why that is? Because that word wasn't originally there. Okay? So you will keep in perfect peace. Okay? So you could insert your name right there. God, you will keep Dan Roth in perfect peace. You will keep, how about this two-letter word, me, in perfect peace. How does God do that? How does God keep us in perfect peace? Because when I live my life, when I go to the job, when I go home after work, when I go down to the city, whatever I'm doing, I'm not always in perfect peace. So how does this work? Look at the next part of the verse. Whose mind is stayed on you. See, it has a lot to do with what's going on up here. Is your mind staying on Jesus? On the power of the Lord? On the grace of God? Or is your mind staying on the problem? See, the more you dwell on the problem, what you look at the longest becomes the strongest in your life. And so if you're staring at the bills, if you're staring at the problem, if you're staring at the situation, if you're staring at the breach of relationship, if you're looking at the wrong things, then you're going to get the wrong response. You're going to get that stress on you. But if your mind is stayed on God, and if when the problem shows up, you say, hey, I may be lacking here, but God isn't lacking. I may not have the answers here, but God has the answers. I may not have the wisdom to do this, but God is the one who gives me wisdom. See, if your mind is stayed on Him, then you will have perfect peace. Why? Because I cast my care, and God's got this, and now I can stay in His peace. Look at this. Whose mind is stayed on you? Because he trusts in you. See, you may not trust your boss. You may not trust your husband or your wife or your kids or your neighbors. You may not trust the economy or the politicians, and that's okay. As long as your trust is in the right spot, if your trust is in God, and if your mind is stayed on Him, then you will have perfect peace. Can you say amen? Just ask yourself this question when stress factors come into your life. Is my mind going to the problem or is it going to God? Where's my mind going? There's a story of a time when Napoleon's army was marching through Austria, and they came to a small village. And this little village had no army. The Austrian army had not come there. They did not know that this army was marching through. And as Napoleon's army came in, they were looking at it saying, we're defenseless. They're just going to come in and capture us. We have no way of defending ourselves. Now, it happened to be Easter Sunday. And so that morning, they got up and they said, what do we do? Do we go and surrender ourselves, or do we have church right now? And they said, well, you know what? I believe that God would want us to have church. So they opened up the church doors, they rang the church bells, and they had church that morning, and they had a wonderful time that morning, and then they went out, and they were expecting the army to be there. But the army was gone. You want to know why? Because the army was a distance away, and they heard the church bells ringing, and they thought to themselves, why would they be ringing the church bells? The Austrian army must have come. We better get out of here. And they left that little town alone. See, if you can keep your mind on the things of God and put God as the priority, then God will keep you safe from the stresses that the enemy would try and put on you. Oh, my goodness. See, it's all about where our mind goes. Is your mind stayed on the Lord, or is your mind stayed on the problem? Look at what Jesus said, John chapter 14. Turn there with me. It's good for us to get these verses in our Bibles. John chapter number 14. Verse number 27, if you have the red letter edition, you'll notice these are the words of Jesus in red. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, says, peace. Everybody say peace. That's what we're talking about. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Remember, perfect peace. That's a perfect peace. Don't you think so? Jesus was perfect. Jesus is God. So if Jesus has given us His peace, that's perfect peace. Look at what He says. I give to you not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now look at this next little three-letter word, let. You know what let means? It's your choice. You can either choose to do this, or you can choose not to do this. You can either look at what God's doing, or you can look at the problem. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, we have a choice each and every day to either stay in the peace of God or to look at the problems, look at the stresses, and allow those things to stress us out and deal with us. Which brings us to the last one, okay? Not only should we cast our cares on the Lord because He cares for us, not only should we stay in the peace of God, but finally for tonight is this, is walk in the Spirit. We got to walk in the Spirit. See, this is not a natural fight. And even though I mentioned exercise, diet, you know, all those things, sleep patterns, and that stuff can help. Okay, I'm not diminishing that in the natural. All that stuff can help manage stress. But that's not going to deal with the problem. This is not a natural battle. Your husband, your wife, your boss, your children, the neighbors are not your enemy. The devil is your enemy, and he fights dirty. And those pressures, some of them we take on ourselves. I know I've done that. Man, worried about stuff that I had no business worrying about. And yet, there are other things that the devil adds, thoughts, hints, little things coming in. What did they mean by that? Why would they say that to me? They know what I've been through. See, these little stresses, these little pressures, these little things, and then there's a spiritual attack that comes against us. And so we're casting our care and we're standing in the peace of God, and we still have stress factors coming in our lives. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle and we need to walk in the Spirit. This morning, my wife and I were having some intense fellowship. You know what that is? We're having a fight. Right? Stressed out. Arguing. The kids later shared, we've said we love you and we forgive you and made up and all that kind of stuff, so it's okay, Pastor Dan and Jess are just fine, all right? So you can pray for us, but you don't have to pray for us, you know what I mean? So anyways, but the kids were talking to my wife today and they said, Mommy, you know, in the past, when you guys have been fighting, you know, there was one time you guys were fighting for a long time, and our daughter Chloe, she's like little pastor, you know, she's little miss, I just tell you, someday she's going to be pastoring us, if not already, I think. But anyways, she said there was one time that we were fighting, and so she went up, she just laid her hand on the wall of our bedroom where we were fighting. She was on the other side, laid her hands, and she said, God, I pray that they just make up, that they forgive each other, and that they come out and they ask forgiveness from us. Within a couple of minutes, we had ended the fight, walked out of the room, said, kids, forgive us for fighting. See? Sometimes we think, well, what could a kid do? They're just young. They don't know anything yet. But yet, here's a little girl that didn't fight it in the natural. She fought it in the spiritual and got spiritual results, supernatural results. And sometimes we think, well, what could I do? I'm just the low guy on the totem pole. I'm just the peon. And I got a lot of pee on me, right? Because people have been just going crazy on me. You know, the boss is down my neck. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And we think, well, what could I do? I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. I'm not influential. I'm not famous. I'm not powerful. I didn't win the Powerball. Okay, I know who went and bought those tickets, all right? You were going to pay off the church. I understand. I understand. It's all good. It's all good. Okay. We'll do it another way, by the grace of God. But see, we think, what can I do? I mean, it's just me. And yet, we are spiritual giants on the inside that are asleep because we don't know the strength that we have. If we would just walk in the Spirit and not wage war according to the flesh, if we would remember, this is not a natural battle that I'm fighting right now, but I'm fighting a spiritual war. And if we would raise up with the weapons of our warfare, armed and ready for battle, and take our stand, we would see supernatural results. And rather than hit that fatigue level and that pressure and start to decline, that stress will cause us to rise to the throne. Why? Because we've humbled ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We cast our care on Him, and now He is exalting us. He is lifting us up with His ability. We're staying in His peace, and we're walking in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Great section of verses if you're fighting a spiritual fight. I just want to point out one verse, verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3. Look at what it says. For it says, for though we walk means live out our life, even though we live this way. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What is he saying? He's saying this is not a natural battle. If you're fighting it in the flesh, you're fighting a losing fight. But if you're fighting it in the Spirit, you've already got the victory. It's just a matter of time before it manifests, before it appears right before your eyes. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, last verse for tonight. Galatians, turn there with me right after 2 Corinthians, you'll find the book of Galatians. And in Galatians chapter number 5, it says this. Verse number 16 says, I say then, walk, remember what walk means, live out your life. Though we live in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you ever just wanted to be negative? Okay, come on. It's okay to be honest in church, all right? Have you ever just wanted to just sit down and I'm just going to find my little Eeyore spot and I'm just, you know what, I'm having a bad day. Just leave me alone. Everybody shut up. Go away. Leave me here to watch 2+ hours of television. I'm going to binge watch, right? That seems to be a big thing in our nation right now. We're going to binge watch something, right? Why? Because we want to be negative. I want to pull the covers over my head and let the dark cloud of despair just cover me. We've got these negative attitudes. But yet, that's what the flesh wants to do. And if that's what you're feeling like, I feel like I want to go back into depression. I feel like I want to be negative. I feel like just being nasty. I just got a case of the nasties this morning. Anybody ever had a case of the nasties in the morning? You woke up and you didn't even know why. You just wanted to be mean and rude and alienate everybody that you care about, right? I've had those days. And yet, that's what the flesh wants to do. That's what this earth suit wants to do. But that's not what the Spirit wants to do. If you would walk in the Spirit, you wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're casting your cares, when you're staying in the peace of God, and when you're staying after it, fighting a spiritual fight, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That case of the nasties will be cured immediately. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Thank you for that weak response. We got to stir ourselves, church. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, all our fret and worry is caused by calculating without God. All of our fret and worries are caused by calculating without God. See, when your mind is going, if your mind links up with the flesh, you're in for trouble. But when the mind links up with the Spirit, now you've put the God factor in there. Hey, I can't make it, but God. This relationship is done, but God. The marriage is over, but God. They're going to fire me, but God. Right? The world is going to hell in a handbasket, but God. All the politicians, but God. Stress, but God. See, we got to walk in the Spirit. Keep your mind on the things of God. See, oftentimes we think that if I could just vent, if I can just run this off, if I can just give it time, if I could just sleep it off, but that's not going to make it. We have to stay in the Spirit. Here's what we learned tonight. Cast your cares, stay in peace, and walk in the Spirit. If you want to deal with stress, it's that simple. Cast your cares, stay in peace, and walk in the Spirit. Say it with me. Cast your cares, stay in peace, and walk in the Spirit. One more time, cast your cares, stay in peace, and walk in the Spirit. Can you say amen to that tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.